Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you are listening. This is Backfield Banter. We're just a bunch of dudes that love talking about sports, and we're going to talk some baseball. So we just had the Pro Day on Saturday. Pretty electric event. Had a lot of solid performances, both with the bat and guys chucking it. Let's start with kind of a review of some of the guys that were swinging and some of the things that we think stood out for scouts. And I apologize because I don't have the metrics in front of me. I think the first bat that really stood out was Cole Platts. I think the swing was super fluid and compact. The ball just jumped off his bat. Now, Zach, what'd you see on him?
Yeah, I think he was the guy that stood out the most to me. I think just from like a frame standpoint, like if I were to write report on him, like he's got an adult frame. Obviously he can get bigger and stronger and all that stuff, but if you were to drop him in on a pro team, he wouldn't look, you know, out of place, which is nice. I thought the swing obviously had a lot of juice in the bat. You know, I think his first couple swings he didn't barrel it, and I was like, man, when he gets this, it's gonna be loud. And obviously he's a lefty, and I know that's something that kind of you hear coaches talk about that a lot, but it does make a difference. I mean, the game is skewed towards lefties, and so it matters. And 80% of the pitchers you're going to face are going to be righties, so he's going to have an advantage there. But I just thought it was super quiet, super compact, little effort for a lot of pop. I was super impressed. I thought, it doesn't take anything away from any of the other guys. I just thought he was like the one that stood out the most by far.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that bat's going to translate and play at the next level. So I thought he was really good. I think Roy Roseman really stood out, doing it from both sides, making a lot of loud contact, doing it from both sides of the plate. Another big physical frame.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most interesting thing about him is he's a switcher. I've seen him in here working with his hitting guy before. And I think he's another guy where it's easy pop. He can do it from both sides of the plate. Juniors. So it'll be interesting to see how he does. I know I saw him catching and stuff like that. I think it's just going to be like positionally, like where can he go? Like I don't know what schools he's talking to and stuff like that. So he's a guy that it'll be interesting to see where it's going in the next couple years. Because, you know, I think the bat's definitely interesting. So now it's just like, hey, you know, we didn't do any running and stuff like that, or just like baseline athleticism testing. So, but from like a skill standpoint with the bat, like it was definitely, you know, somebody to kind of look at and follow.
And then once we get over to the arms, a lot of loud noise going on over there. I think some of the 26s, some of the juniors started it off with a bang. And a couple guys that frankly were like more unknown guys. Cam Taylor, who is a Mizzou commit. I mean, pushing it up, probably a rounded 98. I got the TrackMan here, I think 97.6 on TrackMan. Showing good raw spin on the breaking ball and putting power into it. Probably need to get that better, but very athletic delivery, and the arm strength was just undeniable. Another 26 with just great arm strength was the Graydon Suferling, and his raw spin metrics were good. Spinning the slider up to 2700, had good shape. Changeup had good shape. Going over 20 the other way, killing under 10. Vert on that. So, and he's relatively new to pitching. I mean, when I say relatively new, he's only thrown a handful of times. So I think he did a lot for himself by performing how he did. Did you get a chance to lock in on either of those guys?
Yeah, I didn't get to see the Suferling kid throw. I kind of saw it from the the other side of the turf, because I was talking to Blake Sebastian, which we'll get to later. He was kind of showing up, and he's, you know, one of, I think he's the longest tenured guy for Trevor, actually, that's left. So I think Trevor started training him on the strength and conditioning side when he was like 13 or 14, and it's pretty crazy like how much he's changed just from like a body standpoint. So
yeah, I mean, he looks like he belongs in an NFL locker room.
Yeah, he looks like, what is it, Matt Eckelman always says, man, that kid should have played defensive end, which he probably would have been good at that too. But I think from the pitching side, De La Marque was pretty good. He's a little guy, threw hard, liked him. It was my first time seeing like Grady Westfall throw, because like I've seen videos and stuff, but like, a lot of times when they're throwing, we're working on the strength and conditioning side, so it was kind of cool to see some of these guys throw. I got to see Johnny Carver throw for the first time. live. I've seen him, he's sent me videos, and you see stuff on Twitter and stuff like that. And you know, I thought his fastball looked good. He's a lefty. I don't know what his velos were. I think it was like
mid upper 80s.
Yeah. But yeah. I thought his breaking ball was really good. I had not seen him spin it before, and it looked good. So
his slider's very good. He's shown higher velos. He's definitely a gamer. Get into the game, velo goes up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a good job. I think all those 26s. Zach Van Hook, who's not from this area, he's, I think, from Illinois or St. Louis, somewhere over there. But, gosh, he stood out, too. Just a great frame, like 6'5", lefty. And then the delivery was so athletic. And the arm action was clean. And his ball was coming out. The extension was super high. Like, that one's going to be fun to follow.
Yeah, I thought Keaton Neal looked good. I hadn't seen him throw live before. And I know on the, it's not the stadium gun, but the stalker that gets projected, it was like low 90s, so I don't know what TrackMan picked him up at.
Yeah, I think 92.7 was the top on TrackMan for Keaton.
Yeah.
But yeah, another clean arm action, very athletic delivery, spins the slider really well. So yeah, he's a, you know, being a two-way guy, he doesn't get to put all his focus into it, but when he does it, it's pretty dang good.
Yeah, and he's a guy where I think the, you know, we've talked about this before, but just like low-hanging fruit, like he's going to grow into his body more. Like he's a pretty skinny guy. And so I'm not saying that as a knock. I'm just saying, like, as he gets older and, like, when you look at it from, like, a scouting end, it's like, okay, he's going to get bigger. And with, you know, size, a lot of times will come some velo. But the big thing is it'll help him sustain his velo. So just little things like that. I think he was an intriguing guy to watch throw. Just, hey, he's, like, 92.7 now. What's he going to be when he throws on, like, 15 pounds a year from now, a couple years from now, if that's a goal that he has? So I thought that was,
And then Max Hamilton, the probably most effortless thrower in there, man. It was so easy. I felt bad for him. I don't know if it was the grip thing, but his thumb sliced his middle finger open, like, before first throw.
Is he the one that's kind of, like, down here a little bit?
Lower slot, big extension. Like,
yeah, he looked good.
Really intriguing. But, yeah, he could barely grip the ball because his finger was sliced open, but he kept wanted to keep going, so I imagine that had to be hurting him a little bit, but yeah, still looked really good. Looked super, super low effort from a unique slot with a lot of extension, so definitely a lot to like there.
Yeah, and then there was some of the, I guess, like, we covered pretty much the 26 grads. Like, some of the 25 guys, like, I thought, like I said, I thought the De La Mar kid was an interesting arm, like a smaller guy, and he was just up there and he was throwing BBs. So yeah. I'm sure he was a two-way guy, so I'm sure he's like awesome in the field. He looks like a great athlete. The guy that I thought was interesting too is Ashton Nance. Like, he's a big guy and his arm action was kind of like not what I was expecting. Yeah. Usually those big guys are like high three quarters over the top.
Coming down
on you, and he was like lower, shorter arm action. I don't even know. How would you describe that?
Yeah, super low slot.
Yeah.
Yeah, low slot, sinker guy, huge body, great frame. Like, he's nowhere close to his ceiling yet, so he's going to be fun to watch. But, yeah, he sinks it and then sweeps the slider off of it. And he looked good. And then Tyler Wood, the velo, I mean, I think he hit multiple 98s on the stalker. I know TrackMan froze for him. We had an indoor rain delay. I think that was the first one ever. He had to sit for 15 minutes while we were trying to get the TrackMan back up and running. But yeah, I mean, the fastball was jumping out of his hand. The slider looked good. Changeup was the best I'd seen it from him. And throwing everything in the zone. So it was a really good look for him. And then you had Westfall, who was spinning sliders up to like 3,400.
Yeah, he looked good.
93.9 average fastball, 94.9 max fastball. So basically sitting 94, and another pretty easy effort guy. He didn't look like he was really trying to do much to get that.
And he's another guy where, like, unless you're, like, when we get to Blake, like, Blake's already pretty physical, but, like, Grady's going to put weight on. He's going to do all that kind of stuff. He's already athletic. So, and some of it with these guys is just, like, you don't get your like, adult man body until you're like 22 to 24, so like they're gonna look different in a little bit. But I'm just saying, he's a guy where there's gonna be weight that gets put on, and all the natural, like, hey, he's 94 now, he's probably gonna end up, you know, 97 in a couple years because he's just putting on more weight and his frame's able to handle the arm speed he has and all that. So he was effortless. And
Big Blake looked
good. Blake was awesome.
He got down the mound, touched up to 94.4. Good to see for him. Sitting 92.
His breaking ball has gotten way better.
Yeah.
So good job with that.
He spins the ball really well. Another guy that filled the zone up, man. Like, the you love these showcases because we want to see the stuff, but you love to see these guys that go do it and are just doing it.
Yeah, he spins it at the bottom of the zone really, really well. Like, he was sitting knees a lot on those fastballs, like 90 to 92. Me and Trevor were talking about, I was like, man, he looks like really good. Like, really, really good. I don't think he could have asked for much more from all of his breaking balls from the zone. I think he yanked one slider, but, like, it wasn't, yeah. I mean, it moved well. It was, and that's going to happen. Pitch, just it's going to happen. Yeah. So, but yeah, he looked great.
Yeah, and then Nate Schlote looked awesome again. He threw at the Super 60 last weekend, looked really good, and then followed it back up, showing good velo, the hard, true curveball, which you don't really see a lot of anymore, but getting up to 84.8 on that, I think, with negative 17 vert is pretty impressive.
And that's like, I know when I was recruiting, my buddy, the head coach, was a pitching guy, and he sent me an article, and it was like a good, and maybe you can talk about this, but it was like a good indicator of fastball velo jump was like how hard you throw your breaking ball.
Yeah.
So they were like saying like, hey, if the kid's like, you know, 85, but he's spinning his slider at like 78, 79, like that's a good indicator that he'll jump up.
Correct.
And because of arm speed. And then if you see a guy that's like 90, but his breaking ball is like 68, you're like, okay, he's probably not going to make massive velo jump, or it's less likely, I guess. And so maybe you can talk a little
bit
about
that. Yeah, I mean, more so not saying that guy that throws 90 and has a 68 mile per hour breaking ball can't make the velo jump but yeah, it's usually more of a predictor that, like, yeah, they're able to put that much power when they're spinning it, like their arm speed's going to catch up and the velo's going to tick up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good to see these guys that can put that power under the breaking ball.
That's cool.
But, yeah, so, I mean, overall, good event, good attendance. Had a lot of fun. I thought the guys did awesome. And looking forward to prepping for next year's.
For sure.
We got Connor Holden on today, pitcher from Wichita.
So, Connor is 26 years old and lives with his wife in Wichita. Recently married, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Okay. You know, that says more about her choices than it does yours, because now that I've known you for a few weeks, you know, she probably could have done better.
It's been a great first week of marriage. We're locked in right now.
So you grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, went from being cut at your high school, St. Xavier, to 90 appearances over 5 years between Murray State and Wichita State, and now has thrown over 100 innings professionally with the Detroit Tigers. So why don't we just start off with, how was it growing up in Louisville? Tell us about your kind of like your sports background, family, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so Louisville was fun. I have a sister. She played Division III softball. She was a pitcher.
Older
so,
or younger?
Older, two older. Years older.
Okay.
And so I grew up as a catcher, so I would always catch her, and that's kind of, I didn't play travel baseball, like, quote-unquote, really. Like, I played rec ball. Like, I'm talking the bottom of the barrel. Like, I was batting three-hole, like, playing center field. And if you know me, like, that's not it. So,
Look more like a catcher than a center fielder.
Yeah. Center field was fun. I threw out one guy. It was awesome. It was sweet. My parents were really proud of me. And so, I got dragged around all, like, the softball tournaments and everything for my sister because she was older. And so she played competitive D3, and then it wasn't until she went to college. She's 3 grades ahead of me. So then she went to college, and then finally my parents were like, oh yeah, we can try this baseball thing out. But then that's when I got cut from freshman year. Yeah, no, it was great. It's great. Yeah, no, that is, it's not cut. It's not Michael Jordan. I did not play baseball my freshman year. Like, I was that bad.
Which stayed at it though.
Which I want to add, because the Michael Jordan thing is one of my biggest pet peeves, is people like, Michael Jordan got cut. He got cut from the varsity, everybody. He played on JV his freshman year. He did not get cut from the entire program. So it's a little different,
yeah,
right?
I did get cut from the entire program, and I played freshman men's volleyball. So I played volleyball. Hey. So I went to an all-guy Catholic high school, St. Xavier, and we had like 1,500 guys. So it was competitive. And so there was like 80 guys that went out for the freshman team, made it to the last round, and got cut. And that was really hard. That stunk, because like my whole life was baseball. I didn't play really any other sports. Like, and so that was really, really hard. So then I was like, you know what? Go out for volleyball. I love volleyball. And so then, fun little caveat, I played volleyball with guy named Desmond Ridder. He's a quarterback in the NFL. He played, I think it was on the Raiders previously. He's played on...
drafted by the Falcons.
Falcons. Yeah. He's played on a couple teams here and there. And was he, was he a freak Cincinnati.
Show? Was he a freak show in high school?
Oh, my gosh. He can jump out of the gym. He wasn't like... It's actually like very to his credit. Like, I think he was only a three-star prospect coming out of high school for football. And he was like more of like an athlete. And so he went to Cincinnati and really transformed himself and made him into what he was. Kudos to him for making it that far and everything. Absolutely. But that was, we did play freshman. He got JV. I was freshman. I wasn't that good. So he actually got to play up a little bit. But so we got cut. And then...
Hold on, did Desmond go off for baseball too?
No. Okay. He did not. He was, that's why he played volleyball, because he just... He was just trying to find a sport to
keep active
until football season came back. That's all.
Yeah.
So then I got cut. I mean, that summer played rec ball. It was awesome. And then I was like, you know what? I want to play. And I was a little overweight. So I was 6'2", 250 my freshman year of high school. I was a big boy.
Wow.
Football team wanted me.
Yeah.
I was like,
you would have been a nasty little like offensive guard.
Yep. So I was like, no, I don't want to play. I was like, that was terrible. So, because I played 1 year. It was fifth and sixth grade. I was a fifth grader, and I played with. This is crazy. It was in Northern Kentucky where I grew up, but it was Randy Moss's son, one of his many sons he has. But like his name was Thad Moss. I think he was a 4-star tight end. Eventually went to like Ohio State, like legit player. But in like sixth grade, this man's like 6'3". Like it's Randy Moss's kid, right? So this kid was a tight end, and I'm like a defensive end, and that kid was a middle linebacker, and I was like a tight end, and I was like, he would literally beat the crap out of me, and I was like, this is stupid. And then the coaches were like, you're too fat, you can't touch the ball per the rules, and I was like, what is this sport right now? I don't want to play this stupid sport. I'm just getting thrown around. And then my parents, kudos to them, they were like, you can't quit. They were like, you know, you stuck it out. Like, you don't have to play ever again, but you're not allowed to quit in the middle of the year. So I had to stick it out. And then after that, I was like, you know what, fall ball is good. You know, I'm good. Like, I don't want to sit the bench and play the fifth quarter anymore, so I'm done with that.
Quarter for everybody is basically the JV game, right?
Yeah.
You got the varsity that plays the actual four quarters, and the fifth quarter is when you roll out the kids that basically don't play the first four quarters, and they say, hey, thanks for practicing all week.
Yeah.
Here's 10 minutes.
Yeah, so that was tough. But it was...
So would you say you were a kind of like a late bloomer?
Oh, yeah. They definitely a late bloomer. So then I went back out. I lost like 20 pounds, got down to like 230. And I was like threw hard. It was just I couldn't like move that well. So I was like low 80s is like kind of like a freshman sophomore. And so then I was like a big boy. And they were like, okay, you know what? Like you're not going to make the team catching. But let's try pitching. Let's see if you can try to make it. So then sophomore year, the coach was like, you're done catching. Let's try to pitch. And I was like, okay. Like, I really want to play. So then I started pitching. And then I made the team. And then ever since then, it was just like, I think I started my career 20-0. It was kind of like a running joke. Like, I never lost. Like, and I threw, like, when I tell you guys back in the day, it was like, I think that's why it helped me later on in my career. It's like, I just threw fastball. I was like 85% fastballs. And it was just like, I'd give up 13 hits a game, but it was like, there was be guys on third base every inning, but then it was just like, I would bear down and like, it'd be like 6 innings pitched, 14 hits given up, 1 run, complete game. And I'd be like, let's go, boys. Just all fastballs. There you go.
But it's hard to hit, Zach.
It's very hard to hit.
So then that's kind of where, and then we just started pitching, and then we kept going up and up from there. So then junior year, that was my big kind of like come out. We won the state tournament, and that was the big kind of like coming to the show party was we had 2 kids on our team. So Kentucky does something a little different. They don't do like the 4A, 3A, all that stuff for high school and baseball alone. So baseball, it's everyone plays everyone.
That's kind of cool.
It's just one big state tournament. And so we have our regions, and then you go to like the state tournament after you play your regions in your districts. So we had 2 kids on our team that were committed to Louisville, pitchers, and they just kept going. When I tell you back and forth the whole month of postseason, it was complete game shutout, complete game shutout. complete game shutout, complete game shutout. And I'm just, and we're just sitting there like, sweet, good job, guys. You keep doing you. Like, two guys going to Louisville, like, they're pitching really well. You guys keep doing you. And so then it was like, I haven't pitched in a month. In the postseason, it was like, I haven't pitched in a month. And I'm just like sitting there like, yeah, okay.
Did they at least let you, like, throw to batters during the week?
Yeah. Okay, and that's good. But like, that's, you want to know how weird, like, you're in high school.
Yeah.
And, like, there's no school. And you're just showing up, and you're just throwing to batters, and you just go to the game, and just like, okay. Like Adam's going to go out there, and he pitched 4 years at Louisville, too. Adam did, and he's a lefty, like, 89. And it's just, like, just dominated kids. And then it was – so then it was in the state tournament, we're going, and then my favorite part was I always warmed up the last inning because it was like their pitch counts were getting there, right? So, like, I mean, they still finished, but it was like, hey, Connor, go warm up.
Just in case.
Hey, go warm up, Connor. So then Murray State University, where I went to go play, actually the semifinal game, or it might have been the quarterfinal game, called me after the game and said, hey, was that you warming up in the bullpen? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, you look good. You look good. Keep me updated with your stats. I can't come to other games, but just keep me updated. Keep texting me in the summer. I'm like, hey, I must have looked good in the bullpen because that's the best I got because I never went in the game. And I was like, I haven't pitched in a month. You sure you got the right number?
I mean, that's the first time I've ever heard of a warm-up. Yeah. Like, hey, man, I was warming up.
So, kids, when you're stuck behind some future draft pick and you're warming up in the pen, just remember Murray State might be watching.
Get after it.
So then that's where it was an on-field bullpen, and it was like, so he was like, yeah, you look good in the bullpen. Like, let me know if you get in, blah, blah, blah. So then it was the semifinals game, and we went 7 innings, got through a complete game, and then we went into extra innings, and I was warming up to go in. And then the coach was like, no, sit down. They brought up the other big head pitcher because they were like, we got to get there, and we don't know how long this is going to last. So then he came in, hit his 25 pitch where he couldn't go in the next day, and the coach came in and was like, hey, you're starting the next day? I'm like, okay, if we win. And so then we walked it off, and then it's like, okay, you're starting tomorrow in the state championship game. And it's like, I haven't pitched in like a month. And I haven't pitched in like 7 weeks. And I'm like, okay, you know, let's go. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. That's cool. So then, like, the next day, this is a, like, you know how, like, superstitions and stuff. Like, I don't know if you guys ever heard of Skyline Chili. It's really Cincinnati. Yeah. Big Skyline Chili fan. Very advocate. Please sponsor me. I love you, Skyline Chili. I have reached out. They've denied me, but it's okay. Try to get NIL, but they...
That's hilarious.
It was my, like, quote-unquote, was I went to Skyline Chili before the games in the state tournament.
Yeah.
So it's like, this game's at, like, 1 o'clock. So it's like, I'm rolling into Skyline at, like, 10:30. They open up at 10, and I'm rolling in getting the same order. I'm like, I can't mess it up. I can't mess up the mojo. I'm getting Skyline at 10:30 in the morning. Like, this is not good for me.
I don't know if I've ever heard of chili as a pregame meal.
Yeah, no.
Like, you would think that'd be counterproductive.
I don't know. It worked. Because then we went in. I think I threw, like, a complete game. I think it was like a 3-hit, 8K shutout in the state championship game. So that was fun. And then we won. So that was an absolute blast. And then that was kind of like the whole, like, get cut freshman year to, like, come back and then win state championship. So it was really awesome.
Yeah.
So... kind of, well, definitely a late bloomer.
I would like to ask one thing. So after you get cut, what was kind of the... because I think there's like two ways, right? You can just kind of accept the reality of it. Like, okay, like I'm just not good enough. And you can just kind of roll over. And, you know, obviously you decide, hey, I might as well play some volleyball. But what was kind of the decision? And like what went through that? Like, were you like, hey, I need to do these things to get better. I'm just going to go back out and see how it goes. Like, who kind of helped you through that?
Yeah, so I had like a couple mentors in my life. I think like the biggest one was just kind of like, you know, so another caveat, I have two cousins in the NFL, or had, sorry, they're older, but so my one cousin, Brent Celek, played on the Philadelphia Eagles, tight end for 11 years.
That's
won the Super
sick.
Bowl.
Okay.
It's your cousin?
Who's the other one? So it's my mom's brother's kids. They came to my wedding and everything. And then Garrett, his brother, played on the 49ers for 7 years. And so I grew up going to watch the games at Cincinnati because they played at Cincy when we lived in Northern Kentucky. They've been a big part of my life. And so basically my family's been around like professional athletes a lot. Like, we know how that kind of works. And so... it was very instrumental in my life when I got released that it was just like, you know, just because one person says no, like I could listen to them, or I could just be like, hey, you know what, like, I'm going to keep trying and like, it's okay. Like, they said no, that's fine. They have the right to, but then it's, I'm going to just keep trying to grind. And they told me that I needed to lose some weight. So, you know, like, I try to lose some weight, and I did. And And then luckily kind of a door open to pitching, and I kind of jumped at it. But that's kind of where my whole philosophy of like learning, where it's like that year of getting like where I got told no when I got cut was really, really hard. But I think it was really instrumental in my career, where it was, you know, learning that it's just a word. Like, he just said no. It's not like, it doesn't define me. It doesn't change my relationships with people. I still went to the lunch table and had talks with the same people. Like, and so that was really something that I was really grateful to learn at such a young age, of just like, you know, you get told no, and so let's just, what are you going to do next? It's just, that doesn't define you, and how are you going to go forward?
No, that's awesome. I got two things to add. One, we've talked about this before, but just clearly the lowest hanging fruit, especially for kids. So if you're like a high school or middle school kid, like just getting in better shape will help you get better athletically. Like that is just the easiest low hanging fruit. So it's awesome that you decided to do that. And it probably, you've already said, like it helped a lot. And then two, I was a high school coach for a couple years, and those cut meetings are the worst thing in the entire world. And one thing I kind of always tell kids is like, if you're getting cut, right, like there's this middle area group of kids where they're all like roughly the same. And so you need to do the things that help you, like grades, don't get in trouble, don't be a headache, all that kind of stuff. But also, and I've said this in the recruiting talks with kids too, it doesn't necessarily mean you're not good enough to play. They might have just needed another position. And that definitely happens in those meetings too. It's like, oh, we've got this one kid, you know, like when I was a high school coach, like, okay, he plays the infield. This kid plays the infield and pitches. And we kind of need another pitcher because we've only got like 7 on this freshman team or this C team, JV, whatever level it is. So like we need the guy that can also pitch, because if we end up getting rainouts and having 3 or 4 games in a row, like we just need the guy that can pitch. And it's the same thing like in college, and I'm sure pro ball, I haven't been in those meetings when you're cutting down rosters, but I'm sure it's the same thing. It's like, hey, this guy is a utility guy and he can play infield, outfield, so we're going to take him because he takes up 2 spots.
Yeah, versatility.
And so, yeah, versatility. And so that's why, you know, I don't know that story, like how it was at your school, but you might have been one of those fringe guys and they're just like, hey, like he's not in good enough shape. He's kind of like maybe not swinging it well enough. He's got a decent arm, but he's not a pitcher. So,
yeah,
you know, whatever. And then you go and you kind of reinvent yourself, and then now it is what it is. So I think those conversations are hard because it's like, oh, these coaches don't know what they're doing. It's like, well, you have like a roster that you have to like construct. And so, but yeah, anyways, so.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I can't speak for my coach. My coach and I were not on the best terms, obviously.
You weren't sending them Christmas cards?
No, I mean, my freshman year, I deserved to get cut. I 100% did. Like, I was not ready. I wasn't good enough. But it was some of the things that happened afterwards. Like, we're kind of better now, but like, so this is going to be a little knock on me, but like, after we won the state tournament, this was bad, but in the Louisville Courier newspaper, the main newspaper in Louisville, the quote from my coach was on the front page of the newspaper, was he was fat and nobody liked him freshman year. And that was the quote.
You?
Yeah. So they were talking about how like I got cut freshman year. And it was like, I guess somehow he said that in his interviews, where he was like, yeah, like freshman year he was fat, nobody liked him, that's why we cut him. And then he like worked his way back, but like literally the newspaper ran, and I was like, I just won the state championship for you, and the first thing you're gonna say is I'm fat, nobody liked him. Like, what are we talking about, dude? Like, come on, man. So then after that I was like, you know what, you whatever, dude. Like, that's tough, man.
That's
like
tough.
I mean, come on, dude. But like, yeah, so I mean, I don't know. I never dealt with cutting people and all that, and I know there's a lot of things that go to it. I know that one thing that my family, we really preach, especially what I've seen in my cousins in pro ball and stuff like that, and I've seen it now, is like being a good person goes a long way. I know my cousin on the 49ers, Garrett, he will say this till he'll defend this, is Harbaugh. John Harbaugh was the coach of the 49ers. Or
Jim Harbaugh.
And he, Jim Harbaugh came to church every Sunday before the games. And there was only like 4 dudes that showed up to church before the games. And Garrett was always one of them. And he said Garrett was always super nice to the lunch ladies and stuff. And after his career, like they said that like Jim would go like ask people about like, hey, how is this person? Is this person a good dude? When he had to go around, and like Garrett was always one of those last guys to get cut. Like he was always on like the border of like, hey, it's either this guy or this guy. in 7 years in a row. Like, he was never the most talented. He was always the last one, like the third string tight end. And it was like, he always made the team because it was like, I think it does go somewhere where it's like, if you're a good person, I think that does play a role in kind of like, you know, I'd rather take that good person than that person that's kind of like a...
Yeah, because I think when it comes down to it, right, like, and we've talked about these things before. We talked about them with the high school kids that were coming in for the pro day. Like, it's a job. Like, you're an employee, and you don't want to have to deal with guys that are just dicks 24/7. Now, you know, if the best player in the world is, like, yeah, of course, like, there's, you can't replace that guy. But I would also say never assume you're that guy, because at some point you're not going to be that guy. Correct. There is one, you know, Bobby Witt Jr., and he's not a dick, so that was a bad example. But yeah, I'm just saying, like, from a talent, from like a talent perspective, right, there's like one guy that is the guy, and he can maybe afford to do that, but the majority of everybody cannot. Like, if I was just a jerk every day, Trevor would probably say, hey man, I think you're good at your job, but I just don't want to have to like work with you every day. And those things matter, especially like being a college coach. It's like you're filling out the travel roster. I remember my first year in college, we had this first baseman that everybody liked, and we had to have a bullpen catcher, and we had a third string catcher that some people did not like. And so we just said, hey, are you willing to learn how to catch bullpens? And he said, yeah. And the pitchers wanted him to be the bullpen catcher, so we took him. And that's how it went.
We had the exact same. We had Burge when Will and I were at Wichita State. We literally, towards the end of the year, we were begging our coaches to bring this kid that was like a red shirt. And like, because we were redshirting because he was injured, but it was like, we could care less. Like, I want this kid down there because this kid at least is like positive.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, we won. Yeah. And then it was like, eventually they couldn't, but like, I mean, the entire pitching staff was like begging for this kid to come instead of the other catcher, because the other catcher was very negative and just like kind of regretted being there.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I think that goes so far.
Yeah. Because I mean, that's how, I mean, there's guys that I've coached in my life where I'm like, I do not like, you know, working with you, and they're good enough to play, and it's, you know, it is what it is. But if I have to spend time with people, I would much rather spend time with people I like and that are nice, and you know, you can be cordial with them. And I think that's exactly what was going on with your cousin. It's like, hey, you know, him and these five other guys are kind of all in the same talent pool, but he's great to be around, so yeah, we will keep him. And that stuff matters.
100%.
And you guys, I've never played in a professional locker room, so I'm assuming it's the same for you guys. It's like, you know, I really, if they cut this guy and keep this guy, this is going to suck. Yeah. I'm sure it's, I don't know, is that how it's gone?
I mean, dude, you'll see a lot of guys are just sitting there rooting against everybody else.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, worrying about getting better, the team being better. They're like, I hope everybody else fails so I get better. And it's like, that guy never succeeds. That guy never. So, like, just being that guy that, like, is there for others, helps others, like, is, you know, getting better at his craft and being a positive influence all around, like, those guys succeed, and like, people want those guys on teams.
Yeah. And I talked about that with one of my pro hitters last year. We were just on a phone conversation, and he was like, you know, I feel like you should be starting and yada yada. I was like, that's good, that's fine, and maybe you should be, but don't like sit there mad in the dugout while you're playing, because number one, everybody can see that. Number two, like, if you end up being the starter, you don't want that guy being this way to you. So you need to be supportive. And I know that's a lot harder in pro ball because it's like your career and your job and all that stuff. But, you know, those are things that are out of your control. And when it comes down to it, like, you want to be a good teammate. That's basically what we're talking about. Yeah. Like, you want to be a good teammate. You want to be a good employee. It's like, it's just like if you have a coach, like, if you're just a dick all the time to your players, like, they're not going to want to play for you. And so, I don't know, it goes both ways for sure. So
that is one of the like most unique aspects of, I would probably say, pro sports that I think gets overlooked a little bit, is the fact that you have to sit there and your teammates are also your competitors.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know that at least from the football side, I don't want to bring it up too much, but like from the football side of things, is they would talk about, my cousins talk about, is like, the guy that I'm going to war with next to me on the play is the one I'm competing, like, getting cut. Where it's like me, it's like we're going to war against someone else. And it's like we're, like, one-on-one battles. And if I lose, you win. Like, when they're doing some drills against each other. But I think that's one of the most unique things, even in baseball. Like, it was really, I struggle with it a lot, where it was, I would do bad. Say I go out there and I give up 2 runs, cause the lead to go away. And then all of a sudden, we get the lead back. Great, we won. I still give up 2 runs. Like, this is my career. Like, I'm like, yay, like, we won. That's awesome. And then you go back to your locker and you're like, I just gave up 2 runs. I pissed like crap. Like, this is stinks. And, but it's also, you can't outwardly show that, because then you just look like a bad guy. And it's so hard to, like, kind of navigate that in this. It's really hard, because I know some guys that can't, or they're just too young. I've seen some young guys when they get drafted that they don't know how to navigate it yet. But, it's super hard, especially at that minor league level.
That's one thing Monte Harrison was talking about with a lot of the younger pro hitters here last year, is he's like, the number one thing you can do is just be the same guy every day. Whether you're, and like from the coaching side too, like I always appreciated that, because it's like, if you have like a really good player that's like, when I'm doing well, everything's great, and then you like win 3 games, 3 out of 4 on a college weekend, and they're all pissed because they went, 1 for 12, and like, I get that from the human aspect. But it's also like, dude, last weekend, we split and you had like 8 hits and you were, everything was all great during the week. And I get that, especially when you're working with like younger guys, like you were saying, 18 to 22. It's a lot harder.
Your emotion takes
over. It's emotional, right? But I always think that's really good advice. And it's just like, dude, if you walk in every day and you're, happy-go-lucky and you're doing all, then just be that guy. If you're the guy that's usually like quiet to yourself, like be that guy, like... Because if you can just be who you're expected to be every day, like, people appreciate that. You don't want to be up and down, because then it's just hard to be around you. It's the same thing for us, too. Like, if I was in here and I had a bad day outside of work and I was just, being a dick that day, like, Bob would probably come up to me like, yo, like, what are we doing? Like, what's going on? And so everybody's got stuff going on in their life. And it's, I had a coach tell me, like, when you step on the field, just be at the field, and then when you leave, like, you can take care of everything else that's going on. And so that's one piece of advice I've really tried to do. Like, when I step into the facility, it's just like, okay, whatever's going on outside, like, I got to be here for the next 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, whatever it is, and just be present with the people around me. But yeah,
goes back to consistency.
Consistency.
Always talk about it.
You talked about your cousins a lot. What are some things, obviously football's different, but just like watching them from like mindset and like kind of how they talked about competing and stuff like that, what were the big things that you took away from them?
I think the biggest thing that I took away is, you got to go try to win a job. And I know that sounds kind of harsh, but I think for a lot of the viewers that are guys that are trying to get into, college baseball, you're trying to get into pro ball, like, it's the reality that you look at is, like, you're competing with other people. And it's, when I get on the mound, it's me versus you. At the end of the day, if you beat me, that's me less likely of having a job. And so you go out there, it's like every pitch, every AB, every time I step on that mound, like, it matters. It doesn't matter if it's 15-0, and this is where you just talked about the momentum. That was really hard for me in pro ball, being not like the prospect guy, not getting like the best innings and stuff. It's like, if it's raining and we're down by 10 and it's 45 degrees, guess what, Connor? Like, I got to go out there, and guess what? Those innings still count. Like, those stats still count, and it's not like there's 50 people in the stands, and it's not like, at the end of the day, when you give up runs, like, no one's complaining. No one's, like, those go against you. So it's really, like, having to go out there every single time, even when you're not feeling the best and you're like, oh, why am I in this situation? Like, why are they putting me in this situation? Like, hey, I got to bear down and, like, I got to do my best. And that kind of where it's like, hey, I got to go win a job, like, from someone else. And so that's kind of where I took that mentality from football, because that's what they always talked about, where it was like, every day you go out there, like, you got to try to win a job. Even if it's your job, you got to try to win your job back, because someone's there clawing for it. And so that's kind of, I think in baseball there's only like 700 jobs. And so there's not many of them. And then in football, I know there's even, 50 times 30, whatever, 1,500. I mean, there's not many jobs out there in the professional sports. So if you really want it, you got to go out there and you got to take it.
Yeah,
so,
for sure. Did they help you with like any of the, kind of like the business side? I'm not necessarily talking about the money, but just like how to kind of like conduct yourself in a locker room and things like that. Did they ever kind of like share any insight?
Well, I think just growing up, not so much, because it was just, you learn they're real people. Like, growing up, I got to meet really cool people. Like, I got to meet Donovan McNabb, got to meet, like, Brian Westbrook, like, some of those, like, Eagle legends, right? Eagle
greats right there.
So, like, Trent Cole played with Britt back in college. Did you
meet Andy Reid before he came over to the Chiefs?
So, I mean, I'm sure I probably have met Andy Reid before, like, when he's probably brought him back to the hotel. But, like, Jason Avant, old wide receiver. Is that why
you have the mustache?
Like,
I'm talking, like... You have the mustache because of Andy Reid? Is that why?
Legend.
So, you're a big Andy Reid fan, then, right?
I'm a massive Andy Reid fan. Like, I have so much respect for Andy Reid.
So, you're a sneaky Chiefs fan, right?
No.
Okay.
Just an Andy Reid
fan, and I'm a Spagnuolo fan.
Wait, so who are you rooting for this weekend?
Fly, Eagles, fly, baby. I think just being able to meet these people, and then you realize that they're just humans. No, you don't got to treat them. You don't treat them differently, and I think people appreciate that when you don't treat them differently. You're just like, hey, you know, you're just really good at a sport. That's it. Yeah. Like, coming in here, like, got to meet Riley for the first time. Guess what? Riley's an F. Just like a dude, like everyone else. I mean, I've heard stories of Riley. I knew exactly who he was. And shaking his hand, dapping him up, like, talking to him a couple times ever since I've been coming in here. Like, just exactly how I thought about it. It's just, he's another person. Yeah. Just another person just out there just trying to get his work in and trying to succeed just like I am. He has struggles. He has mental up and downs, and he's trying to make it just like we all are trying to make it. So I think that's kind of where just being around that at a young age and seeing that has helped me a lot in my career.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you got anything else?
I don't know. I mean, oh, you got anything?
Oh, yeah, Will. You guys played together. What was that like?
Yeah. How was that Wichita State experience?
It's good. Connor is a very polarizing individual. He would come off the mound after blowing 87 past like 9 straight kids for like immaculate innings and come in and just call kids terrible. He would walk into the dugout and say, "You're all terrible," and walk into the clubhouse. I was like, nice.
I did have an immaculate inning. All off-speed pitches in the fall.
Oh, all off speed.
Oh yeah, just so I just went out there. I didn't even need fastballs.
That was the spring.
You're saying it just looked like fastballs.
No, that was
the fall. It was the spring right before the season. Mm-hmm. I just went out there and just threw all off speed. Immaculate inning, 1-2-3 strikeout. I came off. I was like, dude, like what's going on, guys? I thought I was transferring to like a power mid major school, and these guys are like, come on, guys. I was letting them know, because obviously Will here throws 100, and then we had like. I think we had like 4 or 5 guys that threw 95, 96 in the bullpen. Yeah. Like, I mean, we had some legit arms on that Wichita State team. And, you know, I threw 89. I weighed like two. I think I showed up first day at Wichita State. I weighed 290. And, you know, like, I was probably throwing 86. And, you know, I had to let them know. I had to let them know where it was at because, you know, I'm big dog. Like, I'm here, and I'm an animal.
It's 89, but I think it's 99.
Yeah, I mean, when I tell you Mike Pelfrey quote, I was telling Willis, air quotes, I was the best worst pitcher he's ever seen in his life. Because he was like, stuff-wise, he was like, how do you get out? And he's like, you just hand him the ball, and I just go out there, and I'm like, dude, I am better than you. And that's kind of
the mindset
that I took on the field every single day. It's like, I don't care if I'm throwing 88, 89. I literally do not care. Like, you are not better than me. And guess what? If you get him hit off me, the next guy ain't, because he's terrible too. So, like, I'm not.
I think that's valuable, though. Like, I was listening to Eric Hosmer's podcast, and he had Mike Moustakas on, and they were talking about, like, you know, you can get, like, way too into the mechanics. You can get lost, you know, which happens to everybody at some point. But he said it was a playoff game, and Moustakas had seen the guy in the previous inning. He's like, hey, what's he got? Is he this? Is he that? You know, blah, blah. And he said, Mike just looked at him and goes, you're better than him. It doesn't matter. And then he said, like, that was just, like, something he needed to hear at the time because, you know, I don't know, maybe he had gone through, like, a little slump in the playoffs, and he's like, doesn't matter. You're just better than him. Yep. And I think that's true. You see a lot of guys like that. You're like, why is this guy getting hits? Why is this guy getting outs? And you're just like, well, he just thinks he's better. And it happens.
Well, that's where I think people mistook what I said a lot, where it was I really didn't talk bad on a lot of people. Like, I wasn't like – I know Will said that I said that you guys were bad, but, like, that was only a limited time. But it was like, I would be more of like, I'm pumping myself up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm him. Like, I would be very vocal on the mound. And it was like nothing against the other team. And I know that, like, in college and even like in pro ball, like, people like kind of like took that the wrong way. But I'm like, I'm not talking to the other team. Like, I'm talking to myself, because when I'm out there, I have to like tell myself that I'm the best human being on the planet. Mm-hmm. And like, you can do whatever you got to do on the mound or in the plate, but I'm not sitting there bashing you. I'm just like, you cannot touch this. And it's like, I'm not telling you that you're bad and that you can't touch it. I'm telling me, that's nasty. Yeah. Or like I would tell myself on the mound, I'd be like, that's gross. Will would say this all the time. I'd do that in game two. I'd be like, that's nasty. And I would say it out loud. I mean, which I'll say, we only had a couple of games we had big crowds, but a couple of games we only had like 200 people, and I would say it so loud too. I'd be like, that's nasty. I'd be on the mound just like, it's 80 mile per hour flat right down the middle. I'm like, that's nasty. And they just, I mean, there's something to be said about just kind of like tricking yourself into like, you know, I'm the best person on the planet, even though we got guys in the bullpen throwing 97. Like,
yeah, even they got Will nasty. Throwing 102.
Yeah, Will was in the bullpen throwing 100.
I was yipped up throwing 91.
He bouncing balls. Yeah.
It was a good catch by partner.
I played catch with the net a lot.
He was trying to play cricket out there, didn't realize baseball was going on.
If I was playing cricket, I would have been an all-star that year.
100%.
I'm serious. I would have made millions of dollars.
Will, I mean, I was sitting in my basement with my son building Legos, and I'll never forget this. And I got a text from a scout saying, is Will Stevens hurt? And I'm like,
was that the Iowa game?
What was the Iowa game?
And I'm like, no, why? And I remember because I had a phone conversation with Will after his first start of the year. Really good first two innings, went out in the third, walked a couple guys in the third, but like nothing crazy. Like just ran out of gas. Was punching guys out.
97, 98.
Yeah. Throwing up to 100.
Electric.
Like, so this scout had seen him that week and was like, oh my gosh, this is a guy. And then the next week, and I bring up the phone call because me and Will go back to this a lot because I talk to him. I'm like, hey, like, I know what is going to be said to you after this game, and it's going to be a command thing. Your command is fine. Like, you've got fatigue. You've worn down. Like, don't change anything. They're going to try to change you. Like, I knew the situation. And so I get this text, and I'm like, oh, God, what? Like, why did he come off the mound? And he's like, no, he's just throwing 89 mile per hour fastballs 25 feet. And I'm like, you got to be exaggerating. And he's like, no, I'm not exaggerating. And so I call Will after the game, and I'm like, Will, like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, feel fine. Why? And I'm like, because we had a phone conversation last week about don't change anything. Like, what'd you do? Well, right after that game, pitching coach talked to me about completely, like, squaring early and, like, throwing a dart to get my command better. And I'm like,
I got to save that game.
And I'm like,
I did.
Boy, we still won. Hey, I did my job.
Hey, you helped my career.
You helped my career. We won that game.
You helped my career.
Kept him in the game.
I remember, I don't want to, like, talk about Will's downfalls here, but it was one of the craziest experiences of my entire life. I don't know if this kid's still in pro ball or not. Or, like, I think he's in pro ball. I don't know if he's still in. That, like, the lefty kid for La Tech, the one that took you.
He is.
He's still in pro ball. Good for him. But I forget what his name is, but it was Will was sitting 100. And this was, like, Sunday. So we went Friday, our guy's sitting 96. Saturday, I forget who started that game, but I think he was sitting 96. And then it was, like, Will sitting Sunday at 100. And it went first batter, and it was, like, 100 ball. 100 strike, 100 foul off, and then it was like 100 turned around off the scoreboard, and we were all like, how did that kid hit that?
Like, I've never had a ball hit harder off me in my entire life.
Oh, yeah. Solo home run and then two clean innings.
Yeah, and then it was two clean innings, and then walked, and then he got tired. But it was
like, completely revamp everything after that.
Correct, yeah. Panicked.
Panicked.
Yes.
Known for that. But it was it was one of the craziest experiences in the dugout, because I was like, Will's on, like, we're going. I was like, we're going to the World Series. I was like, I legit thought we were going to the World Series. Little did we know, like, we were actually 300.
Try to bounce balls 25 feet and get cricket strikes.
Yes. It was, I mean, it was electric. If I was on a cricket field, truly.
Yeah, it would have been tough.
I would have won.
No, he threw a slider over the plate.
But then they didn't let him throw it because he couldn't get ahead with the fastball.
Yeah, no, we don't throw off street pitches where you can't throw a fastball for a strike.
If you can't establish the fastball, don't throw an off speed pitch.
It's okay.
Hey, Everybody can see how angry I am right now with Will.
He, you know, I guess, can we even. He had problems, okay? It's okay.
Hey, you're over the plate last Friday, so that's good.
Yeah, sure. Connor, thank you so much for coming on.
No, I appreciate it. Appreciate it.
If you listen today, don't be scared to get on, subscribe, follow, like, leave us a review, and we look forward to next week.